I park along the curb of Handyman Haven. It's located downtown in our small Alaskan town. I'll try to be in and out because downtown is like a game of gossip telephone from one store to the next. If they're not trying to fix me up, they're trying to set up my kids. I pull my phone out of my pocket and dial Mr. McAllister.
Hank?
Mrs. McAllister answers the phone. Hi, Mrs. McAllister. Is Mr. McAllister around?
How was my daughter? Did she look okay? I'm so worried. I told Frank we should head home, but he swears she's fine and a little alone time would do her good, but I'm not so sure. I mean,
she looks good. I refrain from telling her how Marla might have looked a little unhinged when she came out of the minivan. I've been where she is. Not exactly. My wife died. But there were days I didn't want to get out of bed. And I'm sure the kids are navigating new terrain with their dad still back in Arizona. A long breath falls out over the phone.
Oh, good. Maybe you could take her out.
Helen, stop trying to set them up, Mr. McAllister says in the background.
I'm not trying to set them up, but she needs friends.
Her voice grows farther away until it's Frank on the phone. What's up, Hank? Tank is blown, I guess. Yeah. Sorry, completely rusted out. I'm at Handyman Haven to grab a new one. Wanted to talk to you about how you want to handle this. Let me know what I owe you. I almost replaced it last year, but I figured we might as well get the last bit out of it. I guess my grandkids finished it off for me. He chuckles. Speaking as someone with teenagers, you're probably right. Helen's on my tail every day to get back up there, but this is our vacation. I feel bad for Marla, but it's not like we didn't see this all coming. Jeff's a weasel. He never deserved her in the first place. I say nothing. As weird as it is, Mr. and Mrs. McAllister always feel open to talk to me about how horrible my cousin and his family are because of the very public feud between the two Green brothers. And his dad is a whole other story. Your mother picked the right Green there. I nod, although he can't see me, not sure what he wants me to say. This town acts as if I don't know the story of how Ethel Mann fell in love with two brothers once upon a time. I'll get this new tank in and I'll clean up the mess too, I say. Are you sure? My grandson can help as soon as he gets home from school. It's a slow day for me. Thanks, Hank. We feel so much better knowing you're taking care of this. He pauses before he whispers, How is she really?
She's good.
Come on, it's me. She sounds horrible on the phone. His voice is so low, I struggle to hear him. I only saw her for about 5 minutes, but she's holding up, which isn't a lie. She's standing, her kids got to school, and based on the stain on her sweatshirt, she's eating.
Okay, good. That's good.
I can almost see his gray hair falling onto his forehead as he nods. I'm not sure my words are doing much to make him feel better. Well, I'm gonna head in and grab this.
Yeah, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Have fun. We'll see you in about 2 months, right?
Yeah, we're heading into the Midwest tomorrow.
Great. Safe travels, Mr. McAllister.
Bye, Hank.
We hang up and I climb out of my truck, rounding the back and stepping up to the sidewalk. My mind is consumed by Marla returning to town, and all those unrequited feelings swarm inside me like bees in a hive.